Right, we are back. Terry and Gary's Low Expectations podcast, episode 70 something. It's been
back
a while.
Like a vertebrae.
3 or 4 months, it seems like.
Right, right. So, been so busy with getting that show together and plus promoting it and real life and businesses and all that stuff and you being married. We have Nate on.
Hey.
Yeah, today's special guest. Actor, director, videographer, Nate Thompson. How's it going? Yeah.
Now, it's going, Nate, man. It's going.
Were you, first off, fucking sweet hair? Excuse my
language. Hey,
I have my hair in a ponytail, but from one guy with long hair to another, you know, it's looking sweet. So Gary's jealous right now.
All right, get out of here.
Ball is beautiful, baby.
Keep telling yourself that.
I do.
Now, are you born and raised in Monroe?
Yeah. Born and raised right where, you know, it's Prometica now, but when I was there, you know, it's Mercy to me. And then just, you know, as I got a little bit older, I went down the line, you know, so in my childhood years, you just moved to LaSalle and ended up moving to Erie and then now in Toledo. And always still Monroe's the home.
Nice, nice. Now, what got you into horror movies?
Actually, you know, I had an uncle Cliff, who passed away when I was 3 years old, and he was kind of really big into pop culture at the time, you know. So like being the only boy in the family left after that, you know, I kind of got his old hand-me-downs, which was the old electric guitar, old horror films, you know, old ECW and WWF tapes, and you know, I mean, so fast forward, come full circle, and working with wrestling and stuff, it's kind of like an homage to him in a source, you know, and I'm working in horror and all this other stuff. It's really sentimental to keep it to Monroe too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a hell of an uncle there.
Yeah, good taste.
Great taste. WWF tapes.
Yeah.
Guitars.
Yeah. Gary, Gary usually is the better interviewer here, and he's got all the good questions. I kind of follow his lead, but Gary, I know I jumped out of the gate. I was real excited because you've got a premiere coming up. You got a lot of stuff, plus being from Monroe, and you know, I dig horror movies too. I think with wrestling fans and even comic fans, it's like horror movies and wrestling and comics just go hand in hand.
110%. It's the same crowd, yeah.
So, what was your first movie? I mean, this isn't your first one. I know you've had other ones.
Oh, like the first one I did?
Yeah.
So the first one was a short film called What Lives in the Dark. And it was just, you know, me, my fiance, and my daughter kind of just messing around with the camera on that one. And then that was only about three and a half to 4 minutes long, but got enough feedback to where I was like, man, yeah, I should maybe keep doing a couple more of these and see what happens.
That's all it takes. A few people, you know, to give you that boost of confidence. And
right.
Look at you now. I mean, you got a big movie premiere coming up here in downtown Monroe. Why don't you tell the fans a little bit about what this movie's about and what kind of, you know, how it came about for you?
Yeah. So this was was written and filmed basically on the year anniversary of Cult Affairs, which was based like on just a story about these, you know, almost like mafia type scary guys that have crossed business paths with some other guy. yeah, right. And, you know, that was kind of what I got the most traction and kind of built my name off the most was that one. So I realized, you know, it's kind of like a year anniversary. I realized two things. One, it's pretty much enough time. I'm done pushing this film. You know, I already did it for a year. And then two, now we have to figure out something big to push from here on forward. So that was just, you know, sitting down and realizing, well, you know, we got a record store we can use. So how can we kind of write some dialogue to fit that? What would be a good story that would fit that? It's just going to be, you know, like a good slacker style employee closing down the record store and kind of like reminiscent of the good old late 80s, early 90s horror, you know.
Now, what's your favorite, like, as far as a fan, you know, was it 60s horror, 70s horror, You know, or if it's present day filming, but going back, like what you're doing, like late 80s, early 90s. Like, what do you like, as far as like, if anybody asked me my favorite horror film, I say it's the first Halloween.
Yeah.
Just because of the suspense and you know, and I was born in 75. I love the 60s and 70s anyways, you know. Yeah. Old boats, old cars, and all that stuff, vintage. Now, what is your favorite era of horror movies, or if movies were shot at a certain time?
That's a good question. I honestly, you know, so I don't watch too many newer horror movies, and that's just because I guess in general I just don't watch too much movies at all. I kind of have a select few of favorite movies that I always go back to, and that was, you know, the tapes that I got from my Uncle Cliff. So I will say right off the bat, era-wise, it kind of seems to stick in that mid to late 80s. Like, you know, there was Return of the Living Dead, Part 1 and 2, and then Creepshow especially. But one of the first movies I remember watching was the Halloween. It was the first Halloween, and that's what really stuck with me and kind of what I use in my filmmaking is like the pace of things. Like, you know, you're sitting outside of the house looking in the window, and then it just kind of slowly, instead of switching scenes, like it'll stay on that shot for, you know, half minute, 2 minutes or so, but it'll just kind of move you along to the next window. And it's just one of those things, like pacing really kind of controls the overall tone of the movie for sure.
Halloween, you can come and watch it at my house any day of the week, because every time I work, it's usually on the TV because that's Dawn's favorite. Either Halloween or one of those 80s movies, they're always on. So, yeah. As far as your pacing goes, where did you get all this from? I mean, is it just from your love of horror? Have you studied any kind of film, you know, filmmaking or anything in school? Or is it just giving it a shot and going with it, learning as you go?
Yeah, 100%. It was... you know, I know what movies I like to watch, and I know what movies, you know, at the end of the day, you want to watch a good flick with the kids or, you know, a good flick with the boys or whatever. You have a certain taste that you already gravitate towards. And like, I never went to filmmaking school. I never took any classes. It was always more or less like, you know, if I need, you know, maybe some forum instructions or maybe a couple of YouTube videos to figure out how the camera works. But other than that, you know, it was more or less just I kind of know what I want to see, and I just make stuff that I want to watch.
Yeah.
It seems like
trial and error, you know. Oh, yeah. And but you know, I always say, you know, a lot of things are better when you have on the job training. So when you're doing it and you're learning off of other people, that, you know, and I try to tell people, you know, when you're young and you're 19, you got a good back and good hips and good knees. You know, you got a 100-pound object that you have to move, you know, 50 to 100 feet, and you're just grabbing it up and running it across like you're He-Man. You got that guy that's 25 years older than you going, hey, work smart, not hard. And you're like, well, he's just being lazy. And then as you get older and you realize you keep doing that stuff, there goes your knees, your back. Yeah. And you understand, you know. But luckily enough, I was asking them, well, what do you mean by that? And they're like, well, you know, you could do it now, but do that 150 times and see where your body's at. Right. So, and that's what I try to tell people, you know, it's like when you're in the mix and you're doing it, and that on the job training is sometimes better than, you know, being in a classroom, you know. Sitting and listening to someone, you know. So,
yeah, we got a few guys who want to check in here with us. So let's say hi. Jason Miller is always on. He wants to say hi, guys.
Hey, my man.
Jason was he was at the last show. He loves the wrestling shows. He said he tried to get up as quick as he could for you. So it was right where the big melee happened. Because we don't want to kill Jason.
No, definitely not.
Well, I mean, we don't.
It's an option.
Yeah,
right.
It's on the table.
It's still on the table.
Patrick Mendez, another great fan of ours. Thanks, Pat, for coming in. Three great morons? What?
Yeah, I had to look closer at that. Wait,
hey, that would be a badge of honor.
Yeah, Patrick, did I say nice things about this guy?
Right? That's all right. I think he meant it in a nice way.
There he goes. Oh, Monroeanites. Monroeanites. Okay. Our new church of Monroeanites.
Yeah.
Acts 3.
Yeah, there we go.
Rita Doobie. Hello, friends. I'm excited for the premiere and the next wrestling event and the Pop Fest. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Love how Monroe keeps me busy. Thanks, guys. Well, we all try to do our part in keeping you busy, Rita. And you are one of the best workers, volunteers, and we appreciate you. So you just keep staying busy.
Now, the premiere is this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where can they get tickets for that?
So they can tickets are at www.natethompsonvideo.com/tickets. There's actually an option now to where they can just pick them up at the door rather than having them mailed to them. And then they'll actually they'll be there at the door.
Say that again. I'm going to type it on the thing here for it. Nate Thompson Video.
Yep. Nate Thompson Video /tickets.
All right.
And then they'll be available at the door too, as long as there's still some.
Right. Right. And that's downtown Monroe at the Monroe Theater, correct?
Yeah, yep, the big old historical theater.
And then what are ticket prices? It's just one price, right?
Yeah, well, there's $10 for the general admission, and then we have collector's edition tickets. We only made 100 of them, and those were 15. I think we got about 10 left, if I'm not mistaken, so those are kind of running a little low on those ones, but $10 for general admission.
And then what time do doors open in see, I'm talking like a wrestler.
No, that's your
what, yeah. Well time.
Yeah, what time?
It's 7 p.m. And then it should get over right around 9 p.m. So a good old 2-hour event.
Oh, good.
What can people expect there? I know you said you got some fun stuff planned. I don't know what you've shared and what you haven't shared, but what can we expect to see there besides the movie premiere?
Yeah, so anyone going there just to, you know, thinking that it's just going to be a boring old, you know, sit down and watch a movie, it's going to be a little different than that. You know, they're short films, so in reality, we got about 30 minutes in film material to show people, which is going to be a nice spooky time. But I wanted to give a little bit more bang for the buck. So we got one of the best magicians around. He's going to come in. He's got about a 45-minute show. And then some of the stuff, I don't want to give it away yet, but some of the stuff that he was saying, like, are we okay to do this? I was just like, yeah, like, this is going to be outstanding, like 100%. Right. And, you know, so it's magicians, horror movies, human contortions. You know, we're going to have a lady there just hopefully bending in a pretzel somewhere. And then, you know, it's just going to be a good time, man, for sure.
Nice. Well, and I thought we were going to have Rhino dancing in a cage, but he is going to be away.
Yeah, Illumination Chamber style, right.
Yeah. The magic show, I was going to appear in the cage and dance in the cage.
And see? Then just gore me, and I'm like, oh, what the hell are you going to tell me about this?
That'll scare everybody.
That's the next premiere. We got Patrick Mendez said, Kenny Urban forgot we clarified that you and Goose were on. I don't know what that means. We got A. Oscar Rodriguez III, The Walking Dead. All kinds of great stuff. Our buddy there, he's up. He wrapped and he's home. So he just got done filming the last episode of The Walking Dead. So welcome, Oscar. Thanks for jumping on, brother.
Hey, yes. My man. Okay.
Yeah, he's a good cat, man. Jason. No, Miller, that's not it. We got a lot of these things. We can get to them later.
Now I don't know when horror movies like Jason and Michael Myers and all these characters came out, like if they had a mindset of merchandise afterwards, or I don't know if the merchandise kind of came off, you know, in the 80s and stuff. But do you find, being in the horror movie and the film, do you find people are trying to maybe make characters where they can wear a mask or something where they can get that? Because the big thing in wrestling is merchandise. And not just like Kane would have the mask they would sell. A lot of these characters, they would sell the masks, and that was always popular to the wrestling fans. But with horror movies, like, that's popular for Halloween, and it's always like, I mean, who didn't have a Michael Myers or a Jason? I still do. But like, when you're creating a character, do you have that in mind? Like, can I create a character where I can make merchandise off of, whether it's a mask or he's always got an axe or something. You know what I mean? Or
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, because, you know, you want whatever product that you put out to be marketable enough in a sense that it does good, especially financially. And sometimes, you know, like the gimmicks just got to be hot in order to make it work. And like a lot of the times, like creepy masks, they do, but sometimes they don't. You know, I've had the cult leader mask. I have a lot of people go, you know, that's an awesome mask. That's super scary. And then I've had some people that are like, as soon as I seen the mask, it was over. I didn't like it. So it's like it's a toss up, but I know for sure, like moving forward, if anything, if we ever have a creature, I know we definitely want to market that and give it its own line of merch as best as possible, because, you know, it's not that we're in it for the money, but merchandise does definitely help us get more films out for sure. And it allows us, you know, like to blow up cars if we want to, or, you know, get bigger names and bigger talent, et cetera, et cetera. And it helps for sure.
Yeah, you're going to have some merch at the event too, right? I know you're going to have some t-shirts and stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yep, we'll have t-shirts, posters, like there's limited edition 8x10s as well as standard ones, and then like bundle packages and stuff.
So you guys go buy your tickets. The link's on the page. Bring some money. Buy some t-shirts. Buy some autographed 8x10s, because we want Nate to blow shit up.
Hey, yeah. There we go.
So
for sure. And then if you need any broken down wrestlers.
Yeah, we have a little actor right here.
And foremost, 110%, I will write you in. Like, dude, that was me and him were already talking about it before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You let me know. I always thought there was this old hospital in Trenton, and it closed down, right? Yeah. And it was right on the water. And I always thought, like, it would be cool, like, a horror movie to film there, you know, like, and then I was trying to think, okay, well, what do college kids, or not college kids, but high school kids, they're always usually in horror movies, right? And then they meet up at the football field, they go there, and then they break into the hospital, and then there was, like, I thought of a guy with something that he put over his head, you know, like a back or something. But then there was I seen a horror movie with something like that on there. So I think it was a strangler. It was like a knapsack or something.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, so I'm like, but that would have been cool because you know, if you would have gotten permission to film there, you know, but this is like 10 years ago.
I bet we can find the place and we can do it. We can put something there. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, the thing is with, horror movies, you know, like you said, some scenes move slow, and and I think, you know, a lot of people like the blood and guts, but I think a lot of people also like that suspense, you know, just, you know, and that's one thing in wrestling, you know, the suspense and captivate the audience, and, you know, and then you learn that at a younger age, because the guys, you know, like Undertaker and Austin, they're telling you, go out there and work hard, but don't forget to have that suspense and the, you know, pulling them in emotionally and stuff like that, because, you know, The Rock would just turn around and look and raise his eyebrow and the people would go crazy.
Yeah. Right.
But when you're young, you just want to go in there and flip around and, you know, and jump over the top rope and crash and burn and, you know. Yeah. But anyways, so that, I always thought that would be cool, though, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Want
to jump on here. Jerry Lee Harris said, what's up? In his best old 1990s Budweiser voice. Sean Willis, good afternoon, guys. Jerry Lee's back. Monroe versus everybody. That's right. Monroe versus everybody. I can get
behind that.
We're taking on all. Let's see. David Hayes, another movie producer, director, actor, writer. Our friend David Hayes. And also,
he's got good stuff, too.
He's got a twin brother named Joe Brony, the commentator for IWR Wrestling. We'll be there. Spitting image. Everyone else. You hear? Let's see. Who else we got here? We got so many people commenting here. What's the number by my name? Number one, I don't know. Next, got my tickets from Nate at the IWR show. Awesome, excited for the date night with the wife. Yeah, we'll see you there, Patrick. We got trying to catch up here. David Hayes screamed very loud, merch. That's right, merch is important.
Right.
That's 365 days a year advertising right there. You sell that merch, you know, you get them shirts out there. People ask, I get asked all the time, what's the Pop Fest or what's the Comic Con or what's, you know, oh, let me tell you. Rita Doobie, Nate could do a Bloody Vinyl Records. Bloody Vinyl Records.
The for merch?
Future movie. Yeah, Bloody Vinyl Records. All right, Rita. Make that happen, Rita. You're crafty. Oscar said, hope to see you guys soon. We will see you soon. I think you should be on one of these Nate Thompson movies there, Oscar.
Yes, Oscar.
I would second that, too.
Okay, you second that? Oh, Don said she wants to see a horror movie about a boatyard with a creepy captain. I know exactly who she's talking about.
I wonder if there's anyone that has a boatyard in the area. That seems like an odd thing to have.
I think we could just shoot a little small horror movie at the boatyard with a creepy captain.
Right. There's usually a lot of creepy captains floating around marinas. But not in a horror movie kind of way.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I kicked those captains out of here.
I'm the captain now.
There's only one creepy captain in my marina, and that's me. There's so many, there's so many avenues you could take with horror movies and stuff, and you know, and it just, you let your imagination go wild and stuff. And do you, what sparks your creativity, like on stuff like that? Do you just go and sit out and just, you know, and go someplace, or do you just, you know, whether it's the mall and try to think of something, or do you just let it come naturally, or?
Yeah, I let it come naturally. I try to force, you know, like creativity as much as possible, but it always comes out kind of like a half good idea that I end up changing a couple days later anyway. So I usually kind of take, you know, like for example, on Cult Affairs, just the image of bringing some guy down, like dragging him to the table to sit with like some mafia style boss or some cult leader style character. That was just the image that kind of came into my head randomly that I, you know, one time I was just in the basement at my office, just kind of doing work. And then I was like, wow, I do kind of, here's the lighting that we could probably do in that scene. And I was kind of picturing it in my head a little bit more. And I was like, you know, I do kind of like that. Maybe I can write some dialogue to fit that. So 9 times out of 10, man, yeah, it's just, you're just sitting there. You know, you can sit down, you know, kind of exclude yourself and go, I'm going to be creative today. But you know, it's not always going to happen like that. It's, you could be at the grocery store, you know, getting milk with your kids, and you're like, oh man, okay, like a creepy rocking horse, or, you know, like maybe a haunted painting, or it's something like that hit, and it's just kind of carry it with you and go from there.
Yeah. You know, I've, you know, just with wrestling, you know, promos and stuff you do, you know, when the Attitude Era, when it was really hot, they used to do interviews and stuff, you know, they would find a cool looking spot, like a dirty, dingy spot in the arena, and they would shoot stuff there, or, you know, and it just came across really natural and really, you know, cool. But when they try to recreate it on a set, like, you know, and it looks phony. You know, or then when you're doing it, I think wrestling has taken such a neat, clean look. I don't know if it's because of high def or whatever they have to go with that, but a lot of the wrestling fans miss that grittiness.
Yes.
You find filming like on location and finding that perfect spot, or seeing a spot like I can film something there. Do you like that grittiness to it? Yeah. Because I think in horror films, it's better when you have that natural grittiness to it, you know?
110%.
Yeah. As following. So when you look for a place to film, do you look, or do you purposely look for a certain place, or do you have certain places in mind where, oh, I can do that. And when I figure up, you know, because sometimes
I guess I would say I do have a couple, you know, like as far as like, you know, places that I know have reached out or told me that I could film, you know, like I know we have, like, for example, there's a pinball arcade down at the mall in Monroe.
Dave the Slover.
Told me. Exactly. Great guy. Great family. And he told me he's more than happy to have me film there. So, you know, in a sense, I know that I can always film there if I have to have a pinball scene. But 9 times out of 10, man, yeah, I'm just walking and I'm looking and I'm seeing like, oh, wow, that looks really, you know, don't look like a set. You know, it looks real. It looks natural. And you said the grittiness. I haven't really heard anybody else describe it that way, because that's how I describe it to people. You know, like when people go, how are your short films? I'm like, well, you know, kind of like an it's modern, but it's kind of a throwback. It's got the style and the feel of like a late 90s wrestling, like the grittiness and the grunginess. And that's how I always describe it, you know, like walking through the back alley with the fire and the barrels and stuff. And
you
mentioned that wrestling kind of lost that, and that's one of the things that kind of keeps me in the area of the Attitude Era versus the modern era, because it's like, yeah, it is kind of cleaner. Everyone has first and last names. There's no real characters, you know. There's no stories as much as there was, in a sense.
Right. That's what people you know, miss, is that grittiness, that edge, you know, with wrestling, and they still. And it's, you can still do that in today's time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and right. Well, thank you. And then, you know, and that's why we're trying to do like promos, outside in the back or whatever, just, you know, let it feel organic and just, you know, let it go. So, but you know, like, you know, with the Attitude Era, you had characters like Kane, but you also had Stone Cold Steve Austin. You had The Rock, where it was like a nickname, The Rock, from Rock to Maivia, which, you know, isn't his real name. But, you know, I think the product's just gotten too clean, and whatever happened outside of the ring usually fell inside of the ring, and we don't have that anymore, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know, so...
Anyways, it's coming around. It's just, I think that the indie, what I'm noticing is that it really seems like the indie circuit is really kind of like the big thing in wrestling right now. You know, like obviously you got the main guys, right? But it seems like the indies are kind of growing almost like double in size from what they were even 5 years ago as far as like a fan base. At least around Monroe, I know 110%.
Right.
But it seems like that all over.
Right. Well, they have a lot of different avenues to get out there, so I think that helps it out too.
Yeah.
So, and it's an alternative to, you know, what you have. So.
Right.
And you got to figure that the WWE too. I mean, they have to be careful in what they do and what they produce. Right. They've got so many shareholders and stockholders and people investing in the company. They're always looking to, you know, get that Disney deal or to get the, you know, they want to bring the right advertisements in. So they've got to be more careful now. Whereas in 20 years ago, you know. It was
Stacker 2 and Kane and chokeslamming people and mac and cheese. That was it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, putting 80-year-old women through tables.
Still one of my favorite spots of all time, I think, is to see that. And then I heard him say that she wanted him to, like, that even that was still too soft for her.
Was it?
She was mad at him or something. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're definitely right, you know, because they're doing billion-dollar deals and they have to be careful on that stuff, you know.
Well, that's why I think that Impact and actually, for the most part, AEW does a better job of that right now. I mean, even though they're not on major networks, I mean, AEW kind of is, but they do a better job of being more, you know, more
90. What are you trying to say, Gary? Access isn't... Come on, dude.
What is it called? No. What's it called again?
You said when you're the top dog, all eyes are on you, and you know, and what's fun with Impact is, you know, like Johnny Swinger is one of my favorites. I don't know if you've watched his stuff, but it's just the stuff he says, and they literally go, okay, well, you're going to be wrestling this person, and what would Swinger say, and what you see is what you get, man. We got to bring him back to IWR. He was at one of the Boatyard shows, but. Yeah. He is hilarious. Yeah. He's just like a lot of that stuff he says and, you know, he comes up with and it reflects on the business back in the day. So, you know, pills and rats and then he'll carny it up. And so, but anyways,
the
cool thing about it is he's like one of those characters where it always, you know, he thinks he's doing, he's cool and doing this and that, but the joke's always on him, you know? Right. Yeah. So that's, yeah, yeah, that's why he works even, you know, so that's old school.
It was a lot of fun. If you guys got time, we got a few more people that want to chime in. Patrick Mendez said, Rhino in a cage on stage sounds like a fun time. Well, that's Tuesdays. That's Tuesdays around here, Patrick. We're going to get you down to the boatyard on a Tuesday night. Rhino and Gary
starring. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday, well, yeah. It goes into the morning.
Right.
Like a boatyard party. Hey, man, Rhino and Gary starring in Amityville Powerbomb. Now, Dave, you've mentioned this movie idea before. Amityville Powerbomb, directed by Nate. You can pay him later.
You know, all I'm saying is
a horror wrestling movie.
A horror wrestling movie. There is definitely a market for that. So if you guys want to, we're in Monroe. You know, there's a market for that in Monroe. Yeah.
Now, there was something like that, and it did really well. This was probably about, I'd say maybe early teens. Like Piper and
we'll have, I don't to know, but that. I want to watch it. If so, that sounds killer.
Yeah, right? We'll have to look that up. But there was a lot of wrestlers involved in it. It wasn't like a actual wrestling show, or they were going to a wrestling show or anything. It wasn't like that. But a lot of wrestlers. I forget, but we'll have to look it up.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds.
And I piqued all our interest. So the rest of the show is dead now, because that's all people are going to think about is what the hell was Rhino talking about? As far as horror goes, Michael Mott thinks that have we exhausted all the scariness there is. I'm thinking of how the Alien franchise gave us something new. For Nate, what's new to you worth exploring? We'll get better questions from the fans.
Yeah. I would say, you know, I think I really don't know. I would say right now, psychological horror is really what I'd like to push. I think maybe the slasher vibe has been pushed to its extremity in the 80s, but I think there's still a lot to do with psychological horror, whether it's self-induced or something that's, you know, brought on from the outside. But exploring the mind and mental horror is definitely something I think we're going to go forward with.
Well, I think we just answered your question, Michael Mott. Wrestling horror.
Yeah, there we go, too.
Jason Miller said, I like a good ghost story, like The Changeling with George C. Scott.
I don't think I've ever... I'm going to have to look into that one.
Oscar said he's in, so...
Hook up,
Nate.
Here we go. Hey, what about Dog Lady Island?
Oh, Mike Alexander.
Yeah, you guys...
You guys know about Dog Lady Island, obviously.
Our friend Mike Alexander did a movie for that. On that,
what's that?
Our friend Mike Alexander did a movie on that.
Okay, no, but what's the whole story behind Dog Lady Island? Being from Monroe, you should know the backstory.
So what I've heard, is basically like, we'll see. I don't know what's true. That's the thing. Dog Lady Island's kind of been like a thing that's been tossed around a couple different times. I've heard, you know, there's a lady who was in charge of orphans and like things got burnt down. Mm. And then, you know, like now it's haunted by this lady, this dog lady type of person or beast. And I think in Michael Alexander's film, he portrays it as more of an ancient, kind of like an Indian versus French era type thing. And so really, I don't know if anybody knows for sure. But that's kind of the gist of it, I think.
Yeah.
There's not even a lady or a dog on that island.
Yeah, no, but it's a good piece of land and it's spooky, so.
Right. Yeah, I usually tell kids it was a lady that had a bunch of dogs and the dogs turned on her and ate her.
Yeah, you know? There we go.
Yeah, and then the ghost is, so.
That's just not funny. I got dogs. Hey, Jason Miller, how was your trip to Memphis? Talking to you, Ryan. When did you go to Memphis?
I didn't go to Memphis.
Well, that's how I went, not Jason.
Not good.
I don't think I went to Memphis. Where did I go?
You've been in Alabama.
That's where it was, Alabama. Yeah, I had to think about it.
Just ask me. I know. It's weird.
I might have said Memphis and I meant Alabama.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll say, hey, you're going to meet up Tuesday, right? And thinking when or thinking Wednesday, but I say Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'll do that every. No, it's Wednesday. Oh yeah, that's what I meant.
Eric Jenslack said, "We want Ratamir."
What's that?
Is that the? Is that the one? Like, I don't know if that's the case, but isn't that the guy that like made his way backstage, like in one of the indie wrestling shows? Like,
I don't know.
Couple weeks back, like he just walked backstage. He wasn't part of the guys or anything like that. He just was a fan, and he made his way to the ring.
We don't think that's what he is, Eric.
No, Jason,
I think the Piper zombie movie is on Tubi right now, so you can find a lot of great horror
movies. Tubi is awesome.
I think that's what it was: wrestlers versus zombies.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was when all the zombie craze was like at its peak.
Oh, okay.
Here they come with people.
Yeah, right. Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies.
Another one. Movie was called Wrestlers vs. Zombies. Here we go. Everybody's chiming in now. Wrestlers vs. Zombies. We know.
Yeah. You know what's funny is Shane Douglas was telling me about it because he had a scene in there. And, you know, the boys will always, you know, like, hey, I got your back, right? So they're like one of them, I think it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan, was like holding the door. He's like, don't worry, brother. I won't let it go. You know, whatever, you know, I got your back. And then all of a sudden he let it go so he could get away first. He's like, yeah, brother. Just, you know, I got, trust me. I won't let it go and let you die. And then he's like, okay, I'm out of here. So you just hold on to it too. And then double cross them. Just like they double cross them in wrestling, which was totally funny. High spot, you know. So
it's clever. Yeah.
So make sure you tell the fans all about Saturday, Nate. We're gonna start talking a little bit about IWR 11 Cinco de Mayhem coming May 5th. So make sure we give the fans all the information they're gonna need for Saturday.
Yeah, yep. So April 2nd, this Saturday, River Raisin Center. I believe it's 114 South Monroe Street. It's the big historical theater downtown Monroe. It's going to be a two-hour horror event. There's going to be free food there, and then, you know, tickets are $10. So, I mean, it's going to be a nice little spooky time, that's for sure.
And then you have how many tickets left, the special tickets?
I should have about 10 to 15, if I'm not mistaken, left of those.
Okay. And those are $15, or the collector.
Correct, yeah, I apologize, yep.
So get your tickets and get down Monroe Saturday, 7 o'clock bell time.
Yeah, bell time, 7.
And watching movie.
What time do doors open, Gary?
Well, doors 7. Open at 6:30. Bell time 7. So, hey, congratulations, Nate. We're real happy for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, guys.
I know you do a great job doing these. Also, the videographer for IWR wrestling events. I love seeing those turned out. They always look great. So.
Thank you, man. Yeah, no, it's always fun to throw those together for sure. Yeah. It's hard to get all the action once it, you know,
right,
go crazy because they go crazy a lot. But
yeah, you did a great job.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Nate. We will
thank
see
you guys for having
Saturday.
Me. Saturday.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
See you guys. Take it easy.
You too. And now we got Rhino. We're going to talk about IWR 11, May 5th. Front couple rows, I think, are already sold out. We got general admission and third row VIP available. Second, don't quote, you know, you can go try to buy second row too. There might be some left. Just get in there and get them. But front row is sold out. They sold out within, I think, a couple hours. Front row is gone. So,
yeah.
Let's go. What we got? We got
those front row tickets. Yeah, the first three rows, you get the VIP matches. So, yeah.
Well, people love seeing their Rhino up close and personal, even though. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you and Heath lost the IWR World Tag Team titles last month.
Yeah. And then we won't mention what happened with you and Bravo.
What happened with me and Bravo?
How he jumped you from behind.
Oh, yeah.
That's
sissy.
Yeah.
Wannabe Jimmy Hart.
I tried to have your back, but they numbers game, man. That's when all hell broke loose. But, yeah. I guarantee you.
I appreciate May 5th, that.
Cinco de Mayo or Cinco de Mayhem. Yeah. So.
And that's going to be the main event.
Yeah, we've got a rematch, myself and Heath Slater versus Game Changers. So
with Johnny Bravo in this corner again.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll, got the poster up top right there.
Right.
New tag team champion
titles. Yeah. Can't really make that out, but I'm also on my cell phone.
It's small. It's very small.
No, that's cool though. This Saturday, downtown Monroe at the theater.
That'll be great. He does great things from anybody trying to push Monroe and to push their all their selves and to be creative. And it's important for the community, and it's important for the younger generation to see people ahead of them doing this kind of thing. So maybe get them involved in whether it be wrestling or movie production or acting or whatever.
The businesses that are very helpful, if they know, to let them shoot there and stuff like that and use their facilities. And yeah, so, but anyways.
And we got another match we've announced already too. We got a Big Con. Our IWR World Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, is putting his title on the line against the Dread King Logan.
Yes.
IWR Superstar. And in his corner, ECW legend, the franchise, Shane Douglas. So it's going to make a very interesting heavyweight championship title fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Logan, man, he's on a tear, man. He's definitely on a tear.
Yeah, he got through Madman, which was that's a monumental task on its own, because Madman Fulton he's a beast.
Yeah, we had a great crowd last time.
Yeah, almost 400 people.
Standing room, and that's a great thing. With all of our sponsors, how they support us and the community, they support us, and it's just it's having really really good shows and. And we did make the curfew, the 9 o'clock curfew, which is always great. So a couple times we'll go 5 minutes over that 9 o'clock. During our Christmas show, we did go over by, I think, 18 minutes. We got a curfew with the building, but the wrestling has to be done by 9. But it's good. So. And that's a perfect time anyways for it, just good action, and people, they leave wanting more, and they're not bogged down at a show. They get home, they have enough time to get the kids home, and usually they're tired and they go right to sleep, because that drive, they start winding down like that coffee wearing off. Well, my energy drink's not wearing off, so.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe we've had 11 events already. 11.
Yeah. So hopefully we keep on, growing, and we can start doing events in different cities. So I definitely like to take it back to Dearborn Heights.
Yeah.
So that's where I ran my first show. That's where I ran my first charity show. So we'll see. And then Holland and maybe even Toledo, and
Madisonburg.
Yeah, no. Let's not jump ahead there, Gary.
MSG. But so make sure you guys get on there. Tickets are on sale at www.purplepass.com/IWR11.
Yeah.
Tickets. It's going to be a great event. We got much more matches to be to be announced later on. We get the flyers and posters going out now. So,
yeah. And if you want to be a sponsor, get in contact with Gary.
Yeah.
Because we're definitely going to do something. We're talking, Gary and I, before the podcast earlier today, and about doing something nice for the sponsors, and, maybe at the boatyard, and, like a cookout, have a band and all that. And, so.
And that's when we get Rhino in the cage.
Right. The duck cage.
So. we're gonna wrap this up. Get out of here.
Well, a couple things. Wait, Gary, let's not jump ahead there.
Oh, just joking.
The Toledo Mud Hens.
I seen that new hat.
Season ticket holder right here. Partial. Okay, partial only 10 games. That's, but
still constitute you as a season two.
Right. So, yeah, I'm very excited about that. April 5th.
That's first game. So,
yeah, April 5th season opener. So I'm very excited about that. Saturday, the premiere, Nate's premiere. Very excited about that. And
WrestleMania weekend.
Yes. And I'm very excited about this new little tool I got. Can you see that?
The inner twist?
It's a multi-purpose tool, oscillating multi-tool. Yeah. So
next time I come over, you're going to have like oscillating holes all over your house and.
No, usually for old wooden boats, you can cut out the planks pretty easy with that. Yeah, you got to cut out the rot, you know, make patches and stuff like that. So that's and it wasn't that expensive. It was only $55. I mean, you know, nowadays $55 doesn't go a long way, but you know, it'll for a tool like that, it'll save you a lot of money if you had someone to do it. Like me and my vintage boats and things, you know. So,
well,
these old wooden boats, nobody wants them. I'll take them.
See, Big Daddy's Boatyard. Give him a call. Bring down your old unwanted wooden boat.
Don't haul them down here. Let me take a look at them first. So,
you might be hauling it back, but
right. So
yeah, and tonight I wanted to make sure to tell people I got a. We got a premiere going tonight, a grand opening of my buddy's Dennis Barger is opening Wonder World Comics inside the Mall of Monroe tonight. So
we're nice. Going to be
out there around 6 o'clock, get a sneak peek of that. And tomorrow's the grand opening. So
nice.
Looking forward to that.
Awesome. So,
and looking forward to IWR 11.
Looking forward to FOP in Monroe, Michigan.
Fraternal Order of Police, otherwise known as the House of Insanity, as Mark Roberts likes to say.
Yes.
Don't point at me.
I wasn't pointing at you.
All right. We are out of here. Maybe we'll be back next week. Maybe we won't, but
yeah,
we're always in your hearts.
Your hearts and minds.
And minds.
Right.
Terry and Gary's Low Expectation Podcast. We are gone. See you guys next week. Maybe Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube TV, Terry and Gary TV on YouTube. Go check them out. Get those tickets. See you Saturday. If not, we'll see you May 5th. Maybe we'll see you
see you before that.
Yeah, tell him Brad said he wants a gun show. What are you, the new in the shell, Brad? There. All right. And we are leaving shortly.